In recent weeks, we've discovered that the sixth commandment prohibits murder and affirms a right to life. The seventh commandment prohibits adultery and affirms a right to a stable marriage and home life. And the eighth commandment, which we come to today, prohibits all acts of theft and safeguards the right to property. And if we heard the commandment, "You shall not steal," we probably all respond with a resounding, "Yes, I agree with the eighth commandment." Because we are people, I guess, who long that there might be honour amongst thieves, certainly when thieving affects us personally. And perhaps today you're saying to yourself, "In my experience, that's a commandment which certainly others need to hear, even if I don't need to hear myself." But I think we'll discover it's something each of us need to hear for ourselves. Come back with you in your mind's eye to about 18 months ago. The month is July, and a common thief steals a bag at Reading Station, and he cheerfully goes off home with it, with his ill-gotten gain. At home, the man opens the bag on his kitchen table, and the neighbours are astounded to hear him suddenly running from his house, yelling, "It's a bomb! It's a bomb!" And the police and the bomb disposal unit were called. And in fact, a potentially heinous IRA attack was foiled by that man at stealing a suitcase at Reading Station. I must confess, as I read that story in my newspaper over breakfast the next day, I was very pleased that man had been given such a stark reminder of the eighth commandment, "You shall not steal." And I guess probably in my own life there was a bit of smug self-righteousness. That man had really got the shock he deserved. "You shall not steal." We all know, don't we, that stealing makes life very miserable. We all know it. Break-ins, muggers, car radios being stolen, or if not car radios, even whole cars. Or I was in my shower some 6 weeks ago, and at about 10:30 at night, there's a blood-curdling scream from the street, a woman's scream. And with as much decency and haste as I could, I snatched the towel on my middle and ran out, and a woman in my street had her handbag cut off her. She was very, very distressed by what had occurred to her. She'd only moved in a few days previously. We all know, don't we, that thieving, stealing of all kinds is very miserable. Or there's people like Robert Maxwell, who we're very aware of, who produce misery and insecurity for millions. Or perhaps you see Helen Calder, who directs our administration here, or the lay assistants, and you wonder why they walk with a terrible sort of gait to their left-hand side. It's all those keys they carry for this building and our other church buildings. And we feel sorry for them. I feel very annoyed, but regularly I lose my keys through my pockets because they wear through the lining, and then you have to retrieve right to the very bottom corner of your blazer or sports jacket to find out where the church bunch of keys is. It's infuriating to have to carry around such big bunches of keys. You see, we all know stealing is wrong, and we wish it would never happen. And we feel okay, even righteous, when we restrict the command to a keepable, safe limits. And we tend to think, don't we, that there's a scale to God's commandments, or certainly to what they prohibit. So come back again in your mind's eye to 1991. An RAF officer is visiting a car showroom in West London, and he leaves on his back seat of his car a laptop computer and three cases. They're stolen. Now, that occurred at a time when the Gulf War was just beginning, and the computer and those cases contained classified information. In fact, vital information for the execution of the Gulf War. They were returned to a police station, and they had this note stuck to them. "I am a common thief, and I'm also a patriot, and love my queen and country. Whoever lost this ought to be bloody hung." You see, that man there in that letter was implying that in the scale of things, being a common thief wasn't as bad as being so careless with something which is so vital for the execution of the Gulf War. But actually, we can't sidestep this command, you shall not steal. Exodus 20, verse 15. And I believe a closer examination of ourselves may in reality show the common thief is surprisingly common. And we may be one ourselves. We'd love to, wouldn't we, to restrict this commandment to safe, keepable levels, but we can't. First, will you notice, this is a command to heed in our office and work environment. Turn, will you please, to page 1147, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 to 11. Here's Paul writing, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 onwards. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. You see, some of you were thieves, some of you were swindlers, says Paul, but now you're members of Christ's church. You belong to him. That's how seriously the Bible takes stealing. It can actually mean that you don't enter the kingdom of God. So perhaps you're a student and you're on a grant, but you're not working. And in that way, you're stealing from the taxpayer. Or you steal time. You're careless about your timekeeping in the office, thus stealing from the firm. Or you're late regularly and without excuse for meetings with colleagues, stealing their time by holding them up at the start of a meeting, as well as stealing from your employer. Well, how about the office borrowers? How many of those would you find in your home if you were to go back and have a good hunt around today? You might find that quite a lot. How about expense claims? Or how about the way you give a minimum effort and application to the task in hand? You just try and drift through the day till it's 5 o'clock. How about franking machines? I was rather shocked. I didn't know quite how people use franking machines, whether you can actually pay for your personal ones. I had two letters this week from Christians who'd used, obviously, franking machines. I wonder how they square that with this command. There may be a way of doing it. I may be maligning them. How about the use of a photocopier in the office? Come to another verse, will you? 1 Peter 4, verses 15 and 16. 1 Peter 4, verses 15 and 16. That's page 1220. This is what Peter writes to Christians. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Don't suffer, you see, says Peter, as a thief. We aren't to be accused in that way. Yes, do suffer for being a Christian in your office, for keeping Christian standards, for being loyal to Jesus Christ, but don't suffer for that sort of wrongdoing, for being a thief. I wonder if there isn't perhaps something in your working life which needs to change. This is a command to heed in our office, our work environment. Second, it's a command to heed in our tax affairs. Listen to this letter received by an income tax department. I am having trouble sleeping because of my conscience. Please find enclosed £100. If this doesn't ease my insomnia, I'll send the rest. Well, how about this? Somebody said this recently. I believe we should all pay our tax bill with a smile. I tried, but they wanted cash. Or Will Rogers, speaking of the United States of America, but could equally be speaking of Great Britain. Income tax has made more liars out of the American people than golf has. Or a man called Herman Wouk. Income tax returns are the most imaginative fiction being written today. But in reality, taxes are the dues we pay for the privilege of belonging to an organised society, a society which is actually under God's authority. Turn to Romans 13, verse 1, will you? Romans 13, verse 1. That's page 1140. Romans 13, 1. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. And then verses 6 and 7. This is also why you pay taxes. The authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honour, then honour. Is this command not to steal? Is it a command you're heeding in your tax affairs? Third, it's a command to heed in our business practice. Don't turn to this, but listen to Leviticus 19, verses 11 and 13. Do not steal, do not lie, do not deceive one another, do not defraud your neighbour or rob him. Do not hold back the wages of a hired man overnight. You see, cash flow matters if you're poor. If you're poor, you have nothing stashed away. And from the Old Testament and New Testament, it seems clear to me that when work is done or when goods are delivered, payment is due. That's something churches and Christians in business need to heed and I believe be exemplary in. Just think how much time at Parliament and the EEC have given the last few years to work out how they can protect small businesses from late payers. There are lots of small businesses which go down a plug hole because the bigger firms don't pay on time. I wonder if you're in a position in your firm where you can make sure people pay in time. Are you doing that? Are you making sure that they're receiving their payment for work done or goods received? Listen to James 5, verse 4. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. And Jeremiah 21, verse 12. Here's the prophet, or rather God speaking. O house of David, this is what the Lord says. Administer justice every morning. Rescue from the hand of his oppressor the one who's been robbed, or my wrath will break out and burn like fire because of the evil you've done, and burn with no one to quench it. Are you someone perhaps who can influence the lot of workers in the office or the firm you work in? You see, there is such a thing as the exploitation and manipulation of workers. Or how about asset stripping? You see, that can just be to maximise profit with no look at the social effect or the personal effect or both. That can be a way, I guess, equally of stealing. Or how about the area of honest sales? Do you sell shoddy goods or shoddy products or services to people or second-rate things or things which aren't the ideal product for them? Surely that can be a way of stealing. Hosea 12, verse 7 says this. It points out that Israel's sin includes the merchant using dishonest scales. He loves to defraud. I wonder if we might sometimes not be defrauding people in what we sell, the services we give. Or Psalm 62, verse 10. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods, though your riches increase. Extortion is far too common, yes, in a very nice way, but actually in a way which runs against this eighth commandment, do not steal. I wonder what God really thinks about the enormous profits, not of all, but perhaps of some businesses here in the West End. I wonder what the prophets would say about the profits of some of the businesses and industries in Great Britain. You see, if they're not honest prophets, it is stealing. Fourth, though, it's a command to heed in our friendships and relationships. The reading which Jeremy read to us, Ephesians 4, verse 28. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. You see, Christians are people who should not steal. Stealing is out for Christian believers. But we can steal equally by borrowing without asking, or borrowing without remembering. I have to confess, I have a tape belonging to Chris Hobbs. I've had it for about 18 months now. And the problem is I've lost it, and he's leaving to go and work in Hull after Easter, and I'm trying to find out where I've put it. It's a wonderful lecture he lent me to listen to, and about every 3 months Chris says to me, "Have you found my tape yet?" And I have to shamefacedly say, "No, I haven't yet found it." You see, I should return that to him much more quickly than I did. And the fact that it's still in my possession runs against this command, "You shall not steal." I must do all I can to find it or make restitution by getting another copy for him if I can't find it. But notice, will you, in verse 28 here, Paul goes beyond prohibition to positive application. "He who's been stealing," he says, "must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need." You see, work for Christians to be honest and purposeful, not just to feed our own faces, but no, also to give to those in need. And fifth, this is a command, "Thou shalt not steal," to heed in our Christian giving. Will you turn back to the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi? That's page 962. Malachi chapter 3 and verses 8 and 9. And it's God speaking. "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, to see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it." You see, if you're a Christian believer, I know not all of you are, if you're a Christian believer, Christian giving is part of your Christian worship. One of my former colleagues here contributed to a little book called The Church English Dictionary. And for somebody who used to write bits of weekending, it has that typical sort of satirical touch. In that book, a tithe is defined like this. "A tithe is," I quote, "conclusive proof that the average churchgoer earns around £10 a week." And yes, I know that some of you can't give. Perhaps you're married to somebody who isn't a Christian, or really you have no money for a number of reasons at the moment. But for most of us, Christian giving should at the moment be sacrificial and in proportion to what we earn. And yes, I think the tithe thing probably has been taken over by the New Testament. It's no longer mandatory. But I wonder whether we shouldn't be giving much more sacrificially than we do. Perhaps we should be working out what we should be doing, because to do otherwise is to rob God. It's C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity who said this, "I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I'm afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we spare, more than we can spare." It is good to regularly review our generosity. This great command, it thunders out, doesn't it? And I found it very uncomfortable as I've actually been preparing this sermon this last week. "You shall not steal." It's a command to heed in our office, our work environment. It's a command to heed in our tax affairs. It's a command to heed in our business practices. It's a command to heed in our friendships and relationships. And it's a command to heed in our Christian giving. I wonder how you feel now. I guess you feel quite condemned. I felt quite condemned as I've been preparing this sermon this last week, looking at what the Bible says. And we found week after week, haven't we, that the Ten Commandments push us back to the cross because we realise how miserably we fail. But wonderfully, there is forgiveness and a fresh start, and it can only begin with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. How we need to come day by day to the cross to ask God's forgiveness and indeed to come and ask him for his strength through his Holy Spirit. Let's pray. A moment of silence for personal recollection or confession. Father, we felt so safe when we first read that command, but we know that there are ways in which we have or continue to steal. Help us to obey you. Help us to know what it means not to steal. And give us the strength to put our lives aright. Help us to know how we should make restitution if there's some error we've failed in. And may we know, each of us, your forgiveness and your fresh start. For Christ's sake, amen.